Let's read together from Ephesians chapter 5. Watch what God does, and then you do it, like children who learn proper behavior from their parents. Mostly what God does is love you. Keep company with Him and learn a life of love. Observe how Christ loved us. His love was not cautious but extravagant. He didn't love in order to get something from us, but to give everything of Himself to us. Love like that. We're going to start with a little exercise today. And you're invited just to reflect on your life and tell me, what do you think is the most important thing in a relationship? What is the most important thing for you? And you might just think for a moment about a few people closest to you. What are you trying to do to better that relationship or to keep that relationship intact? Because that might give you an indication of what you think, really think and feel of what's important for a relationship. It could be a lot of things. It might be your sex, man, woman, or your gender. We say men are from Mars, women are from Venus. There's such a big difference. And if you can understand those differences, you can accept it and it can better your relationship. It might be more nuanced than that. You might say personality. And there's a lot of theories on personality and a lot of different personality tests that you can take to help you to understand your personality. But the number one theory is that we are all differ in our orientation towards life. You might be introvert or an extrovert. You get your energy from the outside or you generate it from the inside. And then the way that you take in life might be through your senses physically, or it might be more intuitively through your gut. And then you process predominantly through your thinking or through your feeling, and then you live it out very structured or very free flow in life. And that has a huge effect. And if you can understand that, it will help you a lot. Perhaps you might say, now, it's my love language. That's the most important thing. To be able to touch or give words of affirmation or time or little tasks, you know, that's the important thing that helps us to connect. Or communication. We've got to learn to listen. And then to get the right words and say it in the right way. Perhaps one of the theories says that don't focus on what has happened, on the facts, and never give "you did that" type of messages, but focus on yourself and on your feelings. I felt this way. I'm feeling this way because of what happened. Is that the most important thing? Communication? Or is it your tribe? Your language? You know, your culture? Or is it your faith? Or is it your brokenness? Is that the most important thing in life? Some of us are just too much. We've been damaged and we haven't got the ability. It will never work in any relationship with whatever we have a relationship. Or perhaps it's maturity. If you can become mature, you can handle anything in a relationship. Is there something, or are all these things important? What do you say? Well, Paul says there is one thing above everything else. Love. Love. And in these two verses that we've read, he speaks about the importance of love, the challenge of love, and the journey of love. First of all, the importance. He says, above all, clothe yourselves in love. Live in love. Nothing is more important than that. Nothing in life. To the Corinthians, he wrote a letter and he said, it's possible to get all the other things in life, but not to have love. It's possible to have other things in life, but not to have love. He says, for instance, that you can be very spiritual. You can speak in tongues, but not have love. He says that you can have all the knowledge in the world. You can be Einstein's mentor, but not have love. You can be wise, have deep insight. A wise person is someone who knows what's knowledge is applicable to this specific situation that you're in, but not have love. You can be powerful, have a lot of influence. You can move mountains, but not have love. You can mimic love. You can do acts of love, like for instance, becoming a martyr for your faith. And all the people will applaud you and will remember you as a deeply loving person. But your motive might have been just to become someone, to be acknowledged and not have love. And then, of course, he says this haunting words about love. Only love would remain. All these things will pass. It is the most important thing in life. And isn't that what Jesus said? He said you should love the Lord with all your heart. You should love the source of love. Fall in love with love. Believe in love. And everything that love does, and what God does, and what He loves, His kingdom, His creation, love other people, love yourself. And of course, that's the idea of all the major religions in the world, that the supreme, ultimate virtue is love. And we see something of that in all the institutions, like, for instance, the arts. We get the message, and it comes through in philosophy, in psychology, in psychiatry, in sociology, even in neurology. And sometimes a little bit in politics as well. But it's all about love. And you know it deep inside your heart because you've had experiences. And perhaps we can just for a moment try to get in touch with that knowing inside of us of what love is and how important love is. Think about the best moment in your life or two or three moments in your life. And I want to ask you, wasn't it a moment of connection and love? It was that moment in life where you just felt, I wish this would go on forever. I wish I could press the pause button of my life and stay at this place for the rest of my life. It filled you with freedom. It filled you with hope. It filled you with meaning. This is what life is all about. Life is meaningful. And you just hope that you'd be able to grow in this, to experience this more often, to be at this place more often, of in love, to be in love. Isn't that the power that carries you in the dark moments of your life? That you know, you believe in love. And you know your suffering has got meaning because I've got a why in life, love. And I can endure any what because I can experience love again. Life can change again. And if you had that experience, most probably at that moment, you felt like I've discovered the big treasure in life, that I'm willing to give everything for this. I choose for love. There's nothing more. And you consecrated yourself for love. But then life happens. And it wanes. And it's as if you lose touch with it. It disappears. And this brings us to the challenge of love. How is it possible to stay in contact and to live a life of love and to feel love, to be convinced of love all the time? Well, there's a lot of challenges, but just to focus on two challenges, an internal struggle and an external struggle. Internally, we can call it an eclipse that takes place. For instance, you have a child. What do? I love him or her. I love this person. And what? And I want to care for this person. Love is the why. Care is the how. And immediately you start thinking on how I'm going to do it. And you set yourself goals. I want to prepare a room. I want to get the clothes. I want to care for this person physically, all his or her needs. And then not only physically, I want to see that he's got an education, that emotionally he's well adjusted socially. I want to expose him to a lot of experience in life. And usually we want to give our children what we didn't have in life. And that, at that moment, something happens. You set yourself goals and you become goal-orientated, and then your whole life's about achieving those goals. Because if I can achieve them, I'll be efficient. And that is how an eclipse takes place in our lives. It's like a solar eclipse. Now, the moon, we would never have seen the moon, know about the moon, if it wasn't for the sun. The sun is the why. The moon is the how. The moon receives its light from the sun. But something can happen. The moon can actually move in front of the sun, and a solar eclipse takes place. And you cannot see the sun anymore. You can only see the moon. Your focus shift. But if your focus shift, you lose touch and you exchange the moon for the sun. We can call it an eclipse of the heart that takes place. Because we exchange the invisible love for the visible, the goals. It's measurable. We exchange the immeasurable with the measurable. The doing with the being, the head, the understanding, the focus with the heart. And what is the effect on that? What's the effect of that? I remember my son came to me when he was at school, and he gave his evaluation of the year's activities and everything to me, and I looked at some of the results and I said, 79. What a terrible teacher. She could have gone back into all the tests that you did, and I'm sure she would get a point somewhere so that she could have given you 80%. So you could have had a distinction for this subject. Suddenly his whole face and misdemeanor changed. And he said, Dad, I don't care about a distinction. I don't like that subject at all. I can't wait to let go of that subject. I'm just glad I made it. But it looks as if I will never be able to please you. Nothing will ever be good enough for you. It was a terrible moment. I didn't have a good night's sleep. At that moment, I realized an eclipse of the heart has taken place. I've lost contact with his heart, with love, and with of what love would look like. And the expense of his heart, I thought about the goals, about achieving and about efficiency at that moment. It has a terrible effect on our marriages. We say, I love you for who you are, not for how you look and what you do. But suddenly, when the looks change and all the needs cannot be met, love's not there anymore. You know, living this way, you know, with an eclipse, brings about a lot of success without love. Relationships suffer in the process. That's why we have a lot of successful people at the expense of their marriages and their children and of the people closest to them. We've got a saying, if lack or poverty knocks at the door, love flies out of the window. I wonder about it. I don't think it's true. I've seen too many people that come and move closer to each other through a financial reversal or setback. And they get better, not bitter, and their relationship doesn't fall apart. But if someone in that relationship feels that you should take care of me and you're not doing it properly, you're not efficient enough, you're not good enough, the relationship suffers. If somebody thinks of himself as not good enough because I've tried so hard, I can't, I'm a terrible person, I'm nothing because I'm not efficient, the relationship suffers. So it's more like if efficiency comes through the front door, love flies out of the window. That's more closer to the truth. There's an external dynamic that we've got to be aware of. In this world, efficiency is worshipped. And to worship means to value, of the highest value. That's why when we worship, we say God is of the supreme virtue, is that supreme value, worthship. You know, it's worth more than anything in this world. We try to remind ourselves to really reorientate our lives and our hearts when we worship. But in this world, efficiency is worshipped. That's how we are measured. That's how we are rewarded. And the story that's been told and sold to us is that's how your life will really matter if you're successful and efficient. That's how you will find life. To really live means to be efficient. And if you're not efficient, you won't have a life. You know? And that's not the truth, of course. I mean, have you ever heard of somebody that were evaluated and rewarded on the fact that they loved? Huh? Is there anybody that didn't reach his goals at the end of the year and they said, you know what? You didn't do it, but you've grown so much in love. We want to give you a raise, double your salary, because this is the important thing of life. No. And we would do anything for efficiency. We would become violent. And a prominent philosopher of our time think that that's the reason for the wars that we have in this world. It's all about this. But this is the far enemy, violence. There's another very dangerous enemy, and that's the near enemy. And that is making love another function to be successful. We say love is not the real, the why. Love is the how. It's one of the hows of life. So if you can learn above all, with all the other skills and techniques that you gather, you know, make love important and master those skills. It will help you in your relationships. It will make a better leader of you. But that's not love. You know, that's what Paul warns about. He said, he did not love in order to get something. You cannot control love. You cannot use love. Remember, John said, God is love. Because the moment that you do it is not love anymore. Love is free. Love cannot be bound, cannot be controlled, cannot be even completely understood. You can only cooperate with love. You can only just fall into it, surrender to it, live with it. You cannot control it. And if we think this way, what would be the effect? What's the effect of our culture on us? And Paul says in Romans 12 too that we shouldn't fit into our culture without even thinking about it. What's the effect? I want to ask you, isn't this world the most efficient world that we ever lived in? I mean, it's of all humanity, we're the most efficient society. Did it make us better people? And are we living in a better place than the people 100, 200, 500 years ago? I don't think so. I don't think so. If we look at the psychologically, the effect of the way that we live, the wars, the famine, are we more whole? Are there more people going to bed with a full stomach? Is the world a safer place? Do we have peace? No. That's on a global scale. Personally, on a personal level, it will create a lot of expectancy in our lives because I do a lot of things. And of course, it becomes very difficult because I've got to be a 10 in a lot of things in life to be efficient. And it's just overwhelming. But I suspect that I will become successful if I do these things and I do them. And what happens? Well, first of all, I can't really do all of them. It's too much. It's too big. It's too complicated. And then I fail. I never get what I really expected. So you're a failure. You think you cannot love. The stress is sky high in this way of thinking and living. So that's why there's an invitation to a journey. And this journey is not an either-or journey. You know, it's either you've got to live with a why or you've got to live with a how. No, it's not love or efficiency. It's both of them. If you're not efficient, you won't survive. You won't be able to create. You won't grow. But it's not either or, but it's, is there perhaps one more important than the others? What do you love more? And that's what Jesus asked Peter. Peter, do you love me more than these? I mean, he asked Peter after Peter decided to go back to his old way of life. And he said, Peter, do you love me more than your boat? Do you love me more than the sea, the place, the lifestyle? Do you love me more than money, the money that you get out of this? Do you love me more than the esteem, the friends that you have? It's loving it more. It's coming in touch with your deepest longing and essence, love. And then from that being, start doing, creating your house and living in contact with the why. This is the type of life that we're invited to live. How do I do it? Watch, observe how Christ loves us. Here's an invitation. This is a way that you can really watch and observe. How can I see the love of Christ in my life? There's a lot of ways. Ask him how he loved on you during your lifetime. If you're uncomfortable to ask Christ, just think then about moments of love in your life. Think about it. Go back. I'm sure that you will discover that there's a lot of coincidences, people that you've met, things that happened to you that you had no control over. You find grace in people's eyes. They liked you. There was a lot of luck. You made decisions. You didn't know what you were really doing, and it worked out so well. But you also made decisions and didn't work out well. You made stupid decisions in your life, but you were saved. It was turned around. You didn't get what you deserve. It's not because of your genius and your hard work. Can you sense that mysterious power, presence, person in your life, keeping you, holding you? If you can do that, you've touched base. You're home. You've got to find your own way to your heart, but find a way. And then he says, keep company with him and learn a life of love. Keep company with him. You know, love can only be learned through an experience, a relationship, not through a technique, relationship. That's why in a relationship, you ask. You ask Jesus, please help me. First of all, help me with the eclipse. Help me to become aware of the eclipse of the heart that takes place in my life. Henry Nouwen said, when he reflects on his life, he becomes aware of two voices in him. The one voice says, become something. You've got to be efficient. And he said, it's the voice that really motivated me to get a doctorate in psychology as a theologian. So people can just look at me in another way so that I can be more effective, so that I can really be more efficient in this world. And the other voice says, just keep close to me, Henry. Be humble. Be dependable on me. You know? And it's distinguishing, it's becoming aware of the fact how the eclipse takes place in my life. And if you become aware, your next prayer would be, please help me. Show me, help me, please, Lord. Paul uses a few metaphors of how God helps us through love. It's one of the big themes in his prayers and prayers of the New Testament, is love. He says it's got to be poured out on me. It's like a rain. He says it's like a river in flood. You know, nothing can stop love like that. I've got to be grounded and rooted in life. I get my sustenance out of love. It's a place where I'm safe, where I'm protected. He must give me love. I must have the courage to act on it and to live with it. I must believe in it. So here's the question. Do you have a lot of pain today because of love, broken promises, infidelity? And you've lost touch with the love in your life because of all the pain. And perhaps there's an eclipse that has taken place and you now realize I'm totally taken up with the hell of life. And I can see the effect on my children. And I'm telling them it's because of love that I do it. But you've lost touch with love. And you're totally taken up in your head, with your goals, with your commitments. You need help. Do you want to know love? Do you want to experience love? Let's pray together. Father, we come to you as the source of love. We ask you to help us to know your love practically for ourselves through experience. Fill us. Let it rain on us. Let it become a river inside of us. Ground us. We ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of the Father, and the fellowship of the Spirit be with you. Amen.